Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
You've just tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome, my friends and fellow patriots. If you're concerned about the direction our country's headed, you're in the right place. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, where our mission is to preserve American ideals and our traditional values and our heritage, to restore America. But that's Plan A. If Plan A fails, then our mission is to be ready for Plan B. To excite the current trend of conservative, God-fearing patriots who are part of a demographic shift, taking the gap, relocating to the inland Pacific Northwestern mountain states of Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Eastern Oregon, and Eastern Washington. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host, and we got a lot to cover tonight, so we'll just get right to it. As usual, we'll cover just some of the news going on out there. News and commentary covering issues that could affect you, whether you're already in the American Redoubt, or you're making your move, or you're trapped somewhere out there in occupied America. It's important to keep up with the latest in current events. Situational awareness is a better way to put it. It's important because what you don't know can hurt you. We'd like to follow some of the trends, some of the mindset of people in our government. These are officials. Some of you may have heard this. This came from Cornwall Alliance earlier in the week about the EPA's crucify comment. The story of former Federal Environmental Protection Agency, that's the EPA, Region 6 Administrator by the name of Al Armendariz, having likened his regulation enforcement philosophy to that of the ancient Romans. What might that be, you may be asking? Well, that is to enter a town, crucify 5 men, and thus intimidate everyone and ensure compliance for years to come. Well, when he said that, that hit the media, it hit cyberspace, Congress, and the Obama administration's hard last week. Senator James Inhofe, who is a Republican from Oklahoma and a ranking member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, delivered an extensive floor speech condemning Armendariz's shocking remarks and promising an investigation into the EPA's enforcement philosophy. He described in detail abusive enforcement actions by EPA in 3 cases in Texas, Wyoming, a redoubt state, and Pennsylvania, cases in which EPA eventually backed off, but not before causing significant harm to the businesses that they'd targeted. House Energy and Commerce Committee announced that it would investigate whether Armendariz's enforcement philosophy resulted in an abuse of public trust. Well, of course it did. Members of the committee sent him a letter seeking detailed information about the agency's enforcement practices and requesting his presence. You will be standing front and center at a future hearing to explain his inflammatory comments. Good. Well done. It's about time. Way to go, Senator Inhofe. And so back him up and get a hold of your congressman and tell them to get on that one as well. Armendariz. I think that's how you spell it. It's one of those, it kind of almost looks Arabic. From beforeitsnews.com, cyber intelligence and internet spying case, the House passes this draconian internet spying bill. Several of you have sent me articles about this over the last couple of weeks. I'm kind of following it from afar. On April 29th, on Thursday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Draconian Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, also known as CISPA, by a vote of 248 to 168. So check your elected officials who supported it and who opposed it. 206 Republicans and 42 Democrats voting in favor of that bill. So if the legislation passes muster in the Senate and is signed by President Obama, who's threatened a veto, but don't hold your breath, it would allow private firms, internet service providers, and telecoms and wireless providers to hand over personal information about users to law enforcement and security agencies. Of course, one day that'll all fall under the umbrella of Homeland Security, which is, of course, we know the makings of the next Stasi. And someone just forwarded to me an email from Idaho Representative Raul Labrador about this, and he's apparently shown some concern over the CISPA bill. Good. He is a patriot, so I'm sure he's getting ready to take that one on. I haven't even read the email yet, so I'm going to have to do that. But this is definitely something that we want to push back against. Let's see. Second Amendment news. The National Rifle Association's Political Victory Fund has released a flyer intended to inform pro-gun voters about President Barack Obama's war on your Second Amendment rights. I'm going to post the links to that, as well as the links to all these articles, on our Highlights and Resources posting page for tonight's broadcast, episode 1216. So you'll be able to look at those at your leisure. The seesaw battle in the war to save unborn babies from being murdered in the southern states of Texas and Arizona rages on. First, with a temporary setback in the Texas redoubt, where the will of the people has once again been overridden by another activist judge. Ooh. This one came from the Huffington Post, where they announced that a federal court in Texas ruled to stop a new law on Monday that excluded Planned Parenthood from the Texas Women's Health Program, which serves about 130,000 low-income women in the state. The U.S. District Judge Lee Yackel ruled that the law was unconstitutional. Why? Well, because it bars 8 Planned Parenthood clinics that don't provide abortions from participating in the program, based on their affiliation with legally and financially separate entities that offer abortions. Well, so what? I say disrupt all of their, cut all their funding, Planned Parenthood. But in contrast, conservative patriot Governor Jan Brewer did her part in saving innocent lives. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer on Friday signed into law a bill to cut off Planned Parenthood's access to taxpayer money funneled through by the state for non-abortion services. Good job. Arizona's already, they already bar the use of public money for abortions, except to save the life of a mother, which happens all the time, I'm sure. But anti-abortion legislators and other supporters of the bill have said that the broader prohibition is needed to make sure that no public money indirectly supports abortion services. This is a common sense law that tightens existing state regulations and closes loopholes in order to ensure that taxpayer dollars are not used to fund abortions, whether directly or indirectly, said Brewer, a Republican. By signing this measure into law, I stand with the majority of Americans who oppose the use of taxpayer funds for abortion. Good job. And please remember to pray for our leaders who are taking a stand against evil. This battle isn't over, as you well know. From the Daily Bell, the Daily Bell, Spain bans cash transactions that are over 2,500 euros. Spain's outlawed the use of cash in business transactions in excess of 2,500 euros in order to crack down on the black market and tax evaders. The motivations behind the push for digital currencies is exposed as Spain heads down the road of the Greeks in combating their sovereign debt crisis. As the government scrambles for every tax dollar it can get its grubby little hands on, even though they already gave every Spaniard $23,000 euros in debt last year alone, that's about $32,500. They're now banning all large cash business transactions. And why? So they can track the transactions and make sure that people and businesses are paying taxes so they can squander it some more. And of course, being able to track the transactions is also aimed to combat the growing black market in Spain. And of course, even in America, you can see the black market is going to be a survival tool. And they're going to try to head that off. Of course, the underlying, you know, the main public theme here is that cash is bad and digital currency is good. Let's see. Missouri may be moving forward with an ag gag bill sponsored by Representative Casey Guernsey, who chairs the House Agribusiness Committee, HB 1860, started out as an obscure bill dealing with changes involving grain dealers and vocational education. But then came the amendments that Guernsey apparently planned all along to add language making new criminal law. And the purpose of this bill is to prevent anyone from reporting animal abuse occurring at factory farms. And the corporate farm lobby is strong, and they've managed to garner support for the passage of similar bills in Iowa and Utah. They don't want you complaining about how your commercially grown meat products are handled. So just be quiet and eat it. It's good for you. Yeah, right. Hey, Glenn Beck TV covered a story. This isn't titled, "This Isn't East Germany's." Former NSA employees tell Beck why government's gathering data on you. In a chilling segment on Monday, Glenn Beck's program, in his program, former National Security Agency employees discussed how they were targeted by the U.S. government, and some even held at gunpoint. And they explained in disturbing detail how NSA is gathering information on citizens across the country. That story, once again, that came from The Blaze. This isn't East Germany. If you're an outspoken atheist, well, winning the election on the national level, that's an uphill battle. Perhaps the prime evidence of this charge can be observed by looking at Congress, where there is only one vocal atheist. All right, well, that's a good sign. Representative Pete Stark, a Democrat from California, with a K. Stark is the only individual willing to admit that he doesn't embrace the existence of a higher power. The congressman is so outspoken that he issued a proclamation in the U.S. House of Representatives on Friday, which is the National Day of Prayer, that officially recognized what he and his compatriots called the National Day of Reason. Interesting. Doesn't the Bible say that he who says there is no God is a fool? So this fool came from California, where many of you are trying to escape from, for good reason. Oh, you guys, hey, did you guys hear about the new slogan that Obama's got for his campaign? It's called Forward. Forward. Of course, it goes hand in hand with the other communist mantra, like progress and collective. The Obama campaign apparently didn't look backwards into history when selecting its new campaign slogan, Forward. A word with a long and rich association with European Marxism. Or maybe they did look back. Maybe it's intentional. I'll let you decide. But I'm not convinced it's just coincidence. And what I did was I posted on the Highlights and Resources posting page. I got to get that right. And of course, that article came from the Washington Times. And there's several bloggers and media outlets that are covering that. But it's kind of interesting, some of the campaigns that are some of the communism, pro-communism campaigns from the last century, the posters that use that very same word, forward. And of course, progress and collective, so on and so forth. The United States has been narrowly saved from lethal terrorist plots in recent years, or so it seems. A would-be suicide bomber was intercepted on his way to the Capitol, and a scheme to bomb synagogues and shoot Stinger missiles at military aircraft was developed by men in Newburgh, New York, and a fanciful idea to fly explosive-laden model planes into the Pentagon and the Capitol was hatched in Massachusetts. But all these dramas were facilitated by the FBI, whose undercover agents and informers posed as terrorists, offering a dummy missile or fake C4 explosives or a disarmed suicide vest, and also rudimentary training. and the suspects naively played their parts until they were arrested. And that story comes from the New York Times. But now, a word of caution to you, patriots, especially in light of the developing trend by some, not all, in our government, of labeling conservative patriots as potential domestic terror threats. A little piece of advice. One way to spot an agent. He or she will usually always try to encourage you to do something illegal. And they always somehow come up with the material support to help you get the job done. Someone starts talking about helping you convert your AR-15 to full auto, run away. Someone wants to talk to you about blowing up bridges, run away. It's a trap. Okay? Let's see here. Lawmakers moved toward holder contempt citation. This is good because of this Fast and Furious gun running thing down on the border that's resulted in dead innocent people. Eric Holder has not been held to the fire. A House committee, though, is preparing a contempt citation against Attorney General Eric Holder as it applies pressure for more documents from a flawed gun tracking operation. The arrogance of Eric Holder and his contempt for Congress obviously is very disturbing. But not quite as disturbing as you might find this next story, and that's internment and resettlement operations. It's a story that was ran over on InfoWars. A leaked U.S. Army document prepared for the Department of Defense contains shocking plans for political activists to be pacified by PSYOP officers, that's psychological operations officers, into developing an appreciation of U.S. policies. In other words, they're going to re-educate, they're making plans to re-educate political activists so they can better appreciate U.S. policies if you are detained in prison camps inside the United States. The document titled FM3-39.40, titled Internment and Resettlement Operations. And then we have a link. When you go to that article, there's a link to the PDF that you can download and read. It was originally released on a restricted basis to the DOD in February of 2010, but it's now been leaked online. The manual outlines policies for processing detainees into internment camps, both globally and inside the United States. International agencies like the UN and the Red Cross are named as partners, in addition to domestic federal agencies. It doesn't list them specifically, but I'm sure you could probably count DHS in there. There it is, including the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. The document makes it clear that the policies apply within U.S. territory and involve DOD support to U.S. civil authorities for domestic emergencies and for designated law enforcement and other activities, including man-made disasters, accidents, terrorist attacks, and incidents in the U.S. and its territories. So the stage is being set. Now all we need is a disaster, right? The manual states that these operations may be performed as domestic civil support operations, and it adds that the authority to approve resettlement such operations within the U.S. territories would require special exception to the Posse Comitatus Act. So they're planning to set aside the Posse Comitatus Act, which that can be obtained by the president invoking his executive authority. And the document also makes reference to identifying detainees using their social security number. Now, what kind of people could our military be detaining anywhere in the world that would have a social security number? Well, obviously, it's Americans. And aside from enemy combatants and other classifications of detainees, as outlined in like the Geneva Conventions, the manual includes the designation of civilian internees, in other words, citizens who are detained for security reasons or for protection or because he or she committed an offense against the detaining power. And once the detainees have been processed into the internment camps, the manual explains how they will be indoctrinated with a particular focus on targeting political dissidents into expressing support for U.S. policies. Very interesting, huh? Okay, for those of you living in District 4 in Montana, the House Representative District on the state legislature. I got an email from Timothy Baldwin. That's Chuck Baldwin's son. Tim Baldwin is a constitutional lawyer and a really ambitious man that's very conservative. And he is pushing for state sovereignty. He is pushing for a return to the Constitution, both on the state and the federal level. He wants to restrict government. Well, I told him that I would pass this along to let all of you know. If you're living in District 4, he's running for state legislature, Tim Baldwin. And if you're not sure where District 4 is, that's the Flathead, that's Flathead County over in Montana. Now, if you want more information about him and other candidates running for public office in Montana, there's a good site that's been following everything from the governor race all the way down to the local levels. And that's at paulymontana.com. And that's in our highlights and resources posting for today's show. Okay, when we come back, we're going to have a guest joining us to talk about Agenda 21. Inside the American Redoubt, is it real or is it just paranoia? Well, unfortunately, it's real. And they're sneaky about the way they're implementing it. Now, don't forget to email us with your questions, suggestions, and your personal stories about moving to the American Redoubt. Send your emails to johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Agenda 21 in the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
All right, we're back from the break. This is John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Redoubt. Like I told you right before the break, we are going to have a guest on. We've been trying to do this for the last couple of weeks, but some other things have been just interfering. But we finally got through. We got the Skype bugs worked out. And this is actually our first interview on using Skype. So this is all just experimental, and we're kind of excited about it. It's going to open up new avenues for us. But we are joined tonight by Leah Southwell. She is the pit bull that's taking on the Agenda 21 agenda that's getting a foothold over in Kootenai County, Idaho. And just like we covered last week with Recall CDA, where citizens that are getting fed up with the government not listening, not representing the people's will, they're pushing back. And so we're going to look at this from another angle, and that is the pushback from the citizens against the Agenda 21 and the comprehensive planning for that the Kootenai County commissioners are considering. And this is important because this affects all of you out there in the American Redoubt and all of the communities out there. This is happening everywhere. So it affects you, the listener, no matter where you are, but you have to know what to look for. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So we're joined now by Leah Southwell. Leah, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Free Redoubt.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you tell us a little bit about how you got started taking on the Agenda 21. What made you wake up one day and say, I have a new purpose in life?
Well, I had started to hear about Agenda 21 and started to learn about it 3-4 years ago. And it all sounded just too unbelievable that it couldn't possibly reach my part of the world. And Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is such an important small community, and why would they care what happens here? And I really doubted that this would ever happen. But I had done my studies and knew what it was all about. And one day I opened my newspaper and it said that the Kootenai County Commissioners had hired an outside company to implement unified land use code. And I thought, I don't know what that means, but it sure doesn't sound good. So I went home and Googled that term, and up came smart code. And I knew what smart growth was, and I knew what smart grid was, and I knew both of those were pertaining to Agenda 21, and so I figured this did too. So I started to do a little backtracking and found out who Kendig Keast Collaborative was that was going to be assisting the commissioners in implementing this new zoning, and went to their website and read all about it, and it was all pure sustainable development. So I could see where this was going. And I got a little bit perturbed because I had taken one of our county commissioners aside before he got elected, checked with him to make sure that he thoroughly understood property rights, and if so, I would help him get elected, which I did. And before he took office, I set him aside and I gave him all the little booklets that I had and all the information that I had on Agenda 21. And I said, if it isn't here already, it's coming. These are the terminology. These are the words that you need to be looking out for. This is likely how it would be implemented. And if anything happens, you need to let me know. And he assured me he would. So then I see that they've hired this outside company who's going to come do it for them. And I asked him, what the heck? Why do we need an outside organization to come up with our own zoning? And his reply was that we didn't have enough smart people that we could do it in our own county. Now, our county has a population of about 140,000 people. And I thought amongst there must be a few smart people that could come up with their own new zoning. But I could see that there was a higher agenda here and that they had been sold a bill of goods, that they had been convinced that if they were to do this zoning themselves, that surely there would be legal problems and they couldn't trust their own local people to do this. They certainly needed the experts to implement this. And so that really ticked me off and I thought, gosh darn it, it's arrived here in my own community and I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight this thing back with all my might and get a whole lot of people just as upset as I am.
Well, and you've been doing a fine job at it, I have to say. And the first time I got to actually meet you was a couple of weeks ago when I made a trip over to Kootenai County, and it was some folks opened up their home to this meeting to bring awareness to the Agenda 21 that's creeping into the North Idaho, actually all across the United States.
Yes.
But you know, like I say, usually this is where we draw a line in the sand in the American Redoubt. This is where we preserve Americanism, and that stuff is uninvited to be here.
Yes.
Now, you had mentioned that the county, you said you saw some information here, that started coming forward with that had Agenda 21 written all over it. Did it literally have Agenda 21 written on it?
Oh, heavens no. And you're never going to see that. It had sustainable development written all over it. And sustainable development is just one of the ways that they're implementing aspects of Agenda 21.
through a subcontracted, like a consultant company, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, now, I didn't catch the name. What was the name of this consulting firm that Kootenai County commissioners hired?
Kendig Keast Collaborative.
Kendig Keast Collaborative. Okay, I am going to, just for the listeners, I'm going to post a link to that so you'll be able to read up on that firm, because they're just not only operating in Kootenai County, correct?
No, they're operating nationwide, and there's many of these consulting companies. When I asked the commissioners how they came about that, they said that they had had 6 interviews from different companies who offered them the same service. So I don't know the different levels of knowledge and attempts at implementing sustainable development, but this one certainly is very well educated and knowledgeable about it.
Okay. Do you know who approached who? I mean, did the Kootenai County commissioners track down a company that could help them do this, or were they approached by this Kendig Keith outfit?
I don't know that. I do not know.
Okay. So it doesn't have Agenda 21 across the letterhead when they present their package to say, here, let us help you develop your community. You mentioned sustainable development. What are some of the other things? So we're looking at wording, correct?
Yes. And they've now figured out that we're on to their language and know all the red flags because of the terminology that they use. And so now this new Agenda 21 meeting after 20 years in Rio de Janeiro coming up, part of it will be to develop a new language so that we aren't on to them. It isn't as obvious to us what it is that they're doing. They're just going to keep changing the verbiage.
Okay, because a few months ago I ran an episode that was titled Agenda 21, and I really keyed in on some of the language that people need to be watching out for, and mm-hmm. that's that smart growth, environmental justice. Mm-hmm.
Comprehensive planning. Smart growth.
Right. Now, comprehensive planning isn't necessarily a bad word, because many states, including I know Montana and Idaho, both have state laws requiring municipalities and county governments to have a comprehensive plan, correct?
But have you ever questioned why the states are requiring it and when that all came about?
Yes, in fact, I have questioned that, and that's why I just started digging and looking for people like you.
It was implemented. See, that was the beginning of it. When you know what you want to do, we've got to get this all to trickle down. We've got to force every community to do the same thing. And so that was one of the first things that they did, was to make sure that legislatively that each state would require each county to come up with a comprehensive plan. Then most communities didn't have a comprehensive plan, so you send in an expert to assist that community with developing their own visioning process, and they send a facilitator in to help them do that. I wasn't so convinced of all that, except that I was traveling around with Tom DeWeese, an expert on Agenda 21, and he was doing presentations throughout Montana. And we got our hands on a copy of the Comprehensive Plan of Great Falls, Montana. Some of your listeners are probably from Great Falls, Montana. It's a fairly small town in the middle of nowhere with hundreds of miles of nothing but land around it. And surprisingly enough, every single comprehensive plan, including that one, talks about compact land use, as though urban sprawl in Great Falls, Montana is a problem.
It's quite
a coincidence that nearly all comprehensive plans say basically the same thing. How is that possible if that's really the vision of the people of that community?
Yeah, there's a single kind of a unified language or unified code that's driving all this.
Yes.
And that's coming from these independent consultants that are infiltrating different community governments and pushing the same language, correct?
Yes, they're all trained in the sustainability language or model.
Okay, let me key in on that. Because I had a question earlier, and that is, what qualifies a facilitator to step forward and say, I am an expert and I'm here to advise you? Where do they get this from? Where's their training taking place? What qualifies them?
Well, that was interesting for me to do research, too. One of our local people did a little research on that to find out how did our comprehensive plan come to play. Who started it? And who were the facilitators? And they did do the research on that. I don't have it handy right now, but there were specific names. And so we went to the website of those facilitators and found out all the training that they had had and where they got their training. And it was all about facilitation, group manipulation, group control. And so they're trained in manipulating and helping a group arrive at a predetermined outcome.
Now, I spoke with Michael Boyle, who is kind of a state coordinator for fighting some of this global government, one world order, if you will, agendas, including Agenda 21. And he said that, because I asked him about the Agenda 21, how can we connect the dots? And he said, what you basically said, you'll never see Agenda 21 on this because these experts are coming in and they're trained by going to these
conferences.
There's going to these conferences and conventions where those are the people that are coming out of these larger conventions, like from Rio de Janeiro, and they're coming and training the facilitators. So they've created this buffer between Rio de Janeiro, Agenda 21, the main conference, and the end user.
Correct. Anybody in the planning field over the last 20 years has been being trained in sustainable development. So it's kind of like the education system. Once they co-opted the teachers' schools that teach and educate the teachers, then they've got the whole curriculum. It's the same way with this. Anybody who's in city, county, state government gets sent to these trainings, and they come back thinking that central planning and top-down organization and basic communistic thinking is the norm, and that's the way you do it. And there's very few who can come out of that and still believe in free markets and local free market solutions.
See, that's what's happening. I often catch myself saying to myself, what's happening? I feel like I'm living in Invasion of the Body Snatchers or the Stepford Wives, where our leaders, they're stepping up. I want to represent the people. I'm here for you. And then all of a sudden, something happens. They get this glazed over look, and they start talking this sustained development, smart growth. And they got, it's almost like, I want to say, what happened to you? You know, who took you? Who reprogrammed your brain? Because they're all speaking the same language, like they're being taken away, reprogrammed, and then inserted back into the communities. It drives me insane. I want to get to the bottom of it.
Well, I think the deepest problem is that we as Americans are not very strong on our own principles and values. We don't really know what is right and what's wrong. We don't really know what you should stand and fight for. And we have been trained to listen and trust the experts instead of listening to our own common sense. And throughout school, we've been taught, don't ask, just do as I tell you to, because I'm the teacher, because I'm your mom, because I'm your dad, because I'm the doctor. Just listen to me. I'm the expert. And so people have given up their own common sense, and it makes them very easy to manipulate. And they can't see what's wrong with something. We had one of the ladies at that home meeting that you were at. She said, well, I went to one of those meetings and it all sounded really great. But now that you tell me what was wrong with it, I could see it. But he made it sound so great. I fell for it.
That's what they're doing. You and I were talking earlier during the break, and they're presenting it in a way that you can't possibly say no to it. Like, it's almost like this recall CDA with the park. I mean, hey, we're going to want to build this beautiful park. Children can enjoy. Now, you want children to be happy, right? Well, yeah. Okay, well, good. This will make them happy. Now, you want growth, economic growth, right? Yeah. Well, good. Businesses will want to invest in our community if we make improvements like this. So this is how they're selling it. And Agenda 21, just like you were talking about, same thing. They're selling it the same way. What were some of the examples that you'd mentioned?
In a comprehensive meeting, a question. See, the way you ask the question is going to lead you to how people are going to respond.
Right.
So if I say to you, would you like to retain open space throughout your county? How are you going to respond?
Well, of course.
Exactly. Now, if I say, in order to keep open space in our county, all of us are going to have to sacrifice some of our property for that open space. Are you okay with that?
Let's think about that one.
Let me give you an example with what they're proposing here. If a farmer has 100 acres and he wants to retire from farming, and he's got four kids and he wants to split it up into four different pieces of property of 25 acres each, the county's highest priority is to retain open space. And so the county will allow you to divide it into four different pieces of property, but they're going to require you, if you had as many as 100 acres, that's not equal to every smaller piece. But for 100 acres, they are proposing that 90% of it remain open space. So we'll let you divide it into four different pieces of property, but those four different pieces of property will all have to be on this corner of 10 acres so that the other 90 acres remains open space. Are you cool with that?
No, I think I have a problem with that. Now, is that happening? Are they actually doing that in...
That's what they're proposing. This is about a year-long progress, and this is a great way how they implement it too. They're implementing it chapter by chapter. It's not in any logical flow. They're jumping around, and so you can't see the end picture. Now, the county commissioners have said to us, don't come complaining at the very end. Do not tell us at the very end, we don't like this, throw it out. You have to be a participant all the way along the way. Well, you could be a participant all along the way, but this jigsaw puzzle is being put together piece by piece. So how can we know what we're going to like it or not at the end when they're only going to show us the whole picture at the very end? They've already told us that they're not going to make the maps available of showing us which areas would allow only 40-acre minimum developments and which areas might still allow 5 acres. So they aren't going to show us that map until the very end because they know that's when they're going to get all their grief. So don't show them the whole picture until the very end. And so they have us confused and not sure what we're fighting until the very end, but they aren't going to accept our complaints about it at the very end.
Is that your cell phone?
Yeah, sorry. I thought I had put it on vibrate.
You did put it on vibrate, and it's coming across it. Great. There's just hundreds, thousands of people listening to your phone go off. That's all right.
Would you like to know who it was, too?
Well, we'll talk about that during the break. Hey, okay, so what they're doing, man, this is fascinating. Because this is what they do then is at the end, when they don't let you see all the little individual pieces that are coming together, do they really keep the people insulated from all the different pieces?
Sure, and you can't see the whole picture. I've also been to all the different kinds of meetings. So they're meeting with certain stakeholders and discuss this one aspect of it. Then they're meeting with the different cities and working on a different aspect with them. And then they work with the public and tell them another piece of the puzzle. So are they withholding anything? No, but they're just not making everything available to everyone to see.
Okay. And they're doing that in Kootenai County?
Yep.
Okay, good.
And this facilitator is an expert facilitator. I am very, very impressed with his ability. And what they do at the public meetings, again, is if you oppose some of this, his job as a facilitator is to make you look like a fool, not really answer your questions. And then the other people in the meeting are too intimidated to speak up. And so nobody really objects. They also do this by what they call consensus. And so supposedly we're all going to agree on this. They can't answer me, what percentage of people do you need for a consensus? They won't answer me who provides you with this consensus. This certainly isn't a vote to the public, so it's a matter of how many people show up. Well, at one meeting, there were only 7 of us who showed up at this public meeting, and 3 of us were very verbally against it. Well, his report back to the county commissioners will be, well, you know what? There are only 3 people there who didn't like what we were proposing. And so the county commissioners look at it and say, hey, public meeting, only 3 people against it. The rest must be for it.
So we have a consensus.
We have consensus.
Great. Okay, now I want to talk about specifically what they're trying to do, how they're trying to implement it, and they're not putting this up as a vote to the public. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break, because in Recall CDA, that whole thing is driven by the elected officials refusing to put this up to a public vote. Is it possible? Is there even a mechanism in place to have a public vote for something like this on the county level? And we'll see if you'd be able to answer that and several other questions. We've laid down the foundation already for Agenda 21 in general terms, what's happening, how to recognize it. Now let's start talking about specifically the mechanics of how they're actually trying to make this come about in just one community in the American Redoubt. This is John Jacob Schmidt. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around. We got a lot more with Leah Southwell talking about Agenda 21. We'll be right back.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are "use it, use it, use it." This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now anything we purchase we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotwaki happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the King, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Redoubt movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Okay, we're back, and you are tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. If you're joining us late, though, we are kind of continuing on with what we started last week, and that is betrayal and pushback. Last week, we covered Recall CDA, where they are trying to oust 3 city council members and the mayor for refusing to put a multi-million-dollar project up for public vote. This week, we're talking about betrayal and pushback from the perspective of Agenda 21 and how they're trying to implement that in just one location, just one of many locations across the American Redoubt, specifically Kootenai County over in Idaho. And we're talking to an expert that's been tracking this, that's been following progress, if you want to call it that, and has been attending the county commissioner meetings, is really staying up on this. There's so much to cover. We could do this in 4 different segments, but we're going to keep coming back to this periodically with updates as this Agenda 21 unfolds here, and hopefully progress reports for citizens, hopefully some success stories for pushing back against it. So we're here with Leah Southwell, continuing on. We'll want to talk specifically about how they are actually trying to implement this, what Agenda 21 means for the residents of Kootenai County. So, Leah, what is smart group? What does smart growth, smart grid, all these other buzzwords that we're hearing, how does that affect the average citizen of Kootenai County?
The general idea of Agenda 21 is that human consumption is unsustainable and that our consumption patterns need to be controlled or the earth will be destroyed. And so in zoning and in many other ways, the goal is to drive the people off the lands and into the cities and stack them and pack them into the cities and restore and return the earth back to the little critters and to Mother Nature, who is the new God, to be worshipped. And we people will be stacked and packed into the cities and easily controlled that way.
So they're talking about,
even as I was saying with the Unified Land Use Code, the primary goal is creation of open space. That just makes me laugh. I just drove up to Bonner's Ferry yesterday and back today. Northern Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, your whole redoubt area is nothing but open space. We're not threatened by running out of land around here.
Right. Okay, so what can you define open space? Is that where you're talking about where their end goal is to have this open space being no or restricted human activity, correct?
Correct, yes. There's a biodiversity plan that created wildland corridors, and there are maps of this. And if you look in the redoubt area, there are huge swaths of land that will be limited to all human access and human use. One of the other ways that it's being implemented, too, is the forest management plans, the roadless forests that they're creating. I'm sure everyone throughout your redoubt area has found areas where they used to be able to go into the forest lands that are now blocked off and preventing people from going in. This is how they're going to slowly implement it, more and more and more, prevent us from using any of that wilderness land and drive us into the cities.
So is this what you were talking about before, where you got 40 acres, you want to break it down in 25-acre tracks? You can do that, but you can only build on one little slice of it off to the corner to maintain that open space for the rest of the...
Yes, and eventually that'll get more and more restrictive. If they forbid you from use of septic systems because they say that septic is unsustainable, or water usage, if they deny you your water rights, then you're going to be forced into the city onto sewer and onto city water systems. So there's other ways where eventually they will entirely control those rural lands and force you into the cities.
When I was talking to Michael Boyle, the state coordinator over in Montana that's spearheading the fight against Agenda 21 over there, he was mentioning that there is a group, I didn't get their name, a group of people in the Kalispell area that are doing taking action very similar to what you're doing. And I'm trying to track those folks down. But they're working very closely with the commissioners to make sure that the private property language is expanded and specified over there. Can you speak to that at all, as far as Kootenai County goes?
Yes. The state statute for Idaho still says that none of these comprehensive plans can affect property values or use of property in a negative way. And so that's one way that you can hold them accountable and say, if you try to push this through, you're breaking Idaho state statute. So there are ways to fight back in that way. But there's things like Washington State has a Growth Management Act. And so you've got to look at the state constitution, the Growth Management Act, and other things and see how they jive together and what you could use to fight back with the other. So that is one way to show them that they can't do takings. They aren't supposed to be able to do takings. If they limit the value of your property or lessen the value of your property, for example, I live close to Coeur d'Alene Lake. If you have a piece of property there and you were planning on building it, but they change the rules as far as the setback goes, And now there's not enough setback, there's not enough land for you to build your property on. Now you have a piece of land that you can't ever build on. They just robbed you of the value of your property.
Okay.
So that's another way, is to go and sue them for a takings of the value of your property.
What arguments do you see for their side what can we anticipate for them to be able to justify this in a way that the public's going to swallow it?
Good question. They said to me that, look, in planned urban developments, the values of properties go up in those types of areas. So when you have central planning and you can control everything in that community, the values go up. And they're very right about that. They're also saying that we're going to create opportunities for you. So, for example, Mr. Farmer, we know that we're not going to allow you to develop the 90% of your land, but we'll tell you what, we'll make a trade with you. Because you're only going to be able to develop on that 10% of your land, instead of the 4 plots that you wanted, we'll let you do 8 instead. So that's creating opportunity for you. You're now going to be able to sell 8 lots instead of 4. So we're creating opportunity for you, and we're increasing the value of all of your property in the community.
Okay, so but the people that come along and buy from Mr. Landowner, the farmer turned developer, now wants to sell not 4 but 8 lots. The purchasers, in the spirit of maintaining open space, won't be able to develop those properties, correct?
Won't be able to develop the outside of that small little pocket? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so if they, now you have 8 purchasers of these 8 subdivided parcels from the 40 acres, it's all open space. So what can they do with it?
Nothing. Conservation easements is another way that they're locking up land from ever being developed or used in the future. And they're sucking people in with tax benefits to give a conservation easement, which locks up big parts of their land. And so, again, the county will have the power to say, look, if you give us this, we're going to give you that. And they're in the power position of negotiating. So we want a bike path that goes through your lakefront property here. And because of that, we're going to give you a little this or a little that. But you really don't control your property, because if you say, no, I don't want a bike path through, then they say, great, we won't approve your development plans.
Oh, and now are they actually doing this, or is this part of this comprehensive plan?
That was another proposal as part of the code. This code has not been approved, but that's a suggestion that they're putting through there.
Okay, how far out are we from approving this code?
The commissioners have said that it will be approved before the end of the year, and they're going to cram that through, again, based on elections. The general election is in November, and whether they win or not, they will be out by January. So whether they win or not, they're going to make sure that they get this passed before they go out of office.
My goodness, there's so much of that going on.
Yep.
That's what they did with the healthcare program. That's what they've done with so many different things. They're like, I'm going to be out, whether I lose my political career over this or not. This is so important that I must get this crammed through before somebody else comes along, gets hired, gets elected, that won't carry this torch. It makes you wonder what's gotten into these people to drive them to make something. What's in it for them?
I think they want to leave a legacy. This is their legacy.
Legacy of globalism. I want to leave a legacy too, but for freedom.
A legacy of freedom, exactly. Yes.
Okay. So,
that's something I want to touch on here. I think what needs to be understood by people really is the difference between global governance thinking and American values. And I don't know that we think about this often enough. And I really came to the realization in listening to this whole language that this facilitator spoke and that the county commissioners were starting to speak. And it was the difference between communitarian thinking and individual rights thinking. And we've kind of lost the value of individual rights. There really are no communitarian rights. If you have communitarian rights, then there are no individual rights.
Right.
And we have to understand that America was founded, freedom is founded on individual rights, never on the collective. And so with consensus, they're basically saying that, if this is what the community wants, then this is what we're going to get. And you're going to have some winners and some losers. That thought just absolutely appalls me. So it's a matter of collective rights versus individual rights, community rights over private property rights. I want to read you something from a book, and this was really, I've traced this back to the beginning of all the sustainable developments, written in 1973 by the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. This is a book called The Use of Land, A Citizen's Policy Guide to Urban Growth. So this was a think tank that started this whole process of zoning and urban control. But one sentence out of this: what is needed is a changed attitude towards land, not simply a growing awareness of the importance of stewardship, but a separation of commodity rights in the land from urbanization rights. What that means is we need to separate individual rights to land and make it become community rights of land, community rights and control of land. And so the whole purpose of urban development and zoning is to change our thought process to the rights of the community are higher than the rights of our individual property rights.
For the good of the collective.
For the good of the collective. And so it's central planning over free market planning. And that's what people tend to fall for. If you go to these meetings and you listen, it all sounds really warm and fuzzy. And don't we all want to save this for the future, our future generations and our kids and our grandkids, that they have as much beauty as we have? Don't we need to protect that from all the evil people who are going to do damage to this?
Sure.
Well, we have to look at that there's an alternative to that, and that's the free market. It's voluntary. It's using persuasion. It's selling people on the idea of preserving instead of using the force of law and of government, where we all lose our property rights.
Self-regulating.
Self-regulating. And that's how you maintain freedom. But somehow we've lost that. People don't really even understand what it takes to keep and to have freedom, because quite frankly, none of us have really ever lived under freedom.
Well, we're going to find out how deep down the rabbit hole we can go as far as giving up freedom really soon if we don't change our course. Do we have the county commissioners? I don't want to think, okay, these guys are evil and they're carrying out a global agenda and they're just monster kind of people.
They're not.
No. I think they really believe they're doing the right thing.
Yes.
So you don't believe there's anybody actually on the any county commissioner that's fully aware of this being a United Nations Agenda 21 driven project, do you?
No, I absolutely do not. I've met with all three of them separately. I know them personally fairly well. And no, they do not. But I also think that it's the most difficult thing for people to admit is that you were somehow sucked into being used by someone else for their agenda.
Yeah.
And your own pride is never going to let you admit that somehow you fell for this. And I do believe that their intent is good. And that's why I said these communitarian ways of thinking is dangerous that most Americans have fallen for, that we need to put the community before our own needs. And I just don't believe that. In a free market, if you put your own needs in order to have yourself benefit, other people have to benefit too.
Yeah. And now, how successful have your attempts been to educate these people? If you're that close to their inner circle, you're trying to wake them up, how responsive are they?
Well, initially, not very, but now that they're all campaigning, or at least two out of the three are campaigning, the townspeople are starting to really crack down on them and make them face the fact that we're on to them and we're not liking what they're doing. So they're starting to squirm.
Okay.
And that's, go ahead.
Campaigning for re-election?
Yes, campaigning for re-election.
Okay, so
make
now
them squirm first. Get enough people riled up about it that you make them squirm, that you make them accountable, that they have to answer to why they're doing this. And we're just going to keep building up that resistance till the pain is so great they hopefully, perhaps, will give in and make some concessions or back down on a lot of this.
Okay, you said at first they weren't real responsive. Have they kind of warmed up a little bit? Are their eyes opening? Are they seeing now the game they're getting caught up in?
I would say at first you're in total denial of saying, no, I am not implementing the United Nations. I've never had anyone from the United Nations come and talk to me. I've never heard of Agenda 21, so how could I be implementing something I've never heard of? And so, of course, at first you're in denial. But when 20 people start to tell you, hey, can't you see this is Agenda 21? And then 100 people start to say, hey, we don't want you implementing Agenda 21. Then they have to start going, oh my gosh, why are there so many people saying that that's what we're doing?
Is that what they're doing? Is that what they're saying?
They are becoming more and more defensive of their actions, and they're getting a lot of grief over it. So I can only imagine what they're starting to, that hopefully they'll start to change their way of thinking.
Okay, so only,
what we need to do is to show them an alternative, an option to this. If this is what you want, that's great. But we don't have to do it through the force of law. We don't have to use a police state in order to enforce respect for each other's property. We already have laws against nuisances and harming other people's property.
This brings us, this only leaves us with two things then. Either one, they're not fully educated yet and they still think they're doing the right thing, or their egos are in the way.
I think their egos are in the way, and that's typical. Like I said, this is very similar to teachers. Try to tell teachers that they're teaching the exact opposite of Americanism in school, and none of them are going to admit to it. They just aren't. One in a thousand would say, oh my gosh, I see what you're talking about. I can't believe I was a part of that. They're just not going to. They're not. It's cognitive dissonance. One side of their brain says, that's not possible, I couldn't, I wouldn't. Their pride is in the way, their ego is in their way, and they're not going to back down from it.
Yeah, that's
a good
point.
And how do you win that? I'm not sure. All I can say is we have to build tremendous resistance to it. One of the things that I will be proposing is that we start a petition. I'm not so sure about recalls. I'm not as enthusiastic about recalls as some people are, but the election is up right now. Unfortunately, not enough people here in the county know what it is that's being implemented. The massive majority of people don't read newspapers. They don't even have a clue that this is happening.
Right.
My guess is probably 2% of the population, maybe 5% of the population, has even heard that this is happening. And so we have to go out and educate the people, like that home meeting that you were at, and through the internet, and putting on functions, putting on forms for people to come here and to learn and get them all hot under the collar so that they all start contacting the commissioners and saying, stop it. We don't want this.
Okay, so that was my next question. Before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask, what can the citizen do, not just in Kootenai County, but where this is happening anywhere across the American Redoubt? They want to put their foot down and say, not acceptable. What can they do?
I think they do have to rally the troops. They have to get more people upset. Numbers is what matters to representatives. If they get a lot of grief over something, then they're going to start to back down over it, or their pride is in the way and they're just going to force their own agenda through, which some of them do. But hopefully, and if that doesn't work, then you can do a petition. If that doesn't work, you could do a recall. But most the best way to do it is just elect them out and put somebody in who will. And then hopefully you can correct some of this. It really bothers me that there's a chance that we're not going to be able to stop this. And then my hope is that whoever gets in as the new county commissioners is going to be able to reverse some of this.
Okay. Do you have resources that the listeners can go to? Is there a website? Is there a newsletter they can get signed up with? Where can they go to learn more about this and get tools, get trained up and empowered to be able to take this fight on?
Well, my favorite organization, because I'm a little bit partial to it, is the John Birch Society, because I work for them.
Yeah.
The John Birch Society was one of the first in 1992 to report about Agenda 21 being agreed upon by many, many different countries. And we started talking about it back in 1992, but it wasn't visible. And so people weren't believing it. And so we kind of backed down. We now have quite a few tools. We have little booklets, reprint articles, and we have speakers who will go around and teach and educate people. One way to get in touch with us is jbs.org, johnbirchsociety.org. Some of my other information came from freedomadvocates.com, also freedom21.org. Those are all great organizations who've written extensively on Agenda 21. You know, that's about all I can tell you. On JBS.org, we have a whole section for...
There we go.
Back again?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what happened there. Okay, so those websites, I'm going to post those, JBS.org and the others that you mentioned. I know the John Birch Society has been on the leading edge of creating awareness and fighting, really spearheading the fight against globalism, against communism. That's how they got their start, fighting communism, and they've just done an amazing job. And so I'm going to post those, because they're just loaded with resources for the listeners to go not only make yourself aware of the Agenda 21 that's tried to get a foothold in the American Redoubt and around the world. Do you have a regular newsletter or anything like that you mail out or anything?
I do not. I am forming a email list of people to keep them informed locally here within the county that's happening.
Okay.
Can they email you and ask to be added to my list?
Absolutely. Okay, so for the listeners out there, if you want to get on this list for Leah Southwell's mailing list that keeps you abreast on developments with Agenda 21 and their fight against it, just email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I'll pass you along to Leah, and you can get on her mailing list, and she'll be able to keep you updated and give you more information on how to get involved in fighting this. So Leah, it's been great having you with us. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to doing some follow-up interviews in the not too distant future.
Thank you, John Jacob. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break in just a sec. But first, if you haven't joined the American Redoubt Network, get plugged in. It's the first step in getting and staying connected in a Teotihuacan down, crash, collapse situation. And now is the time, not after. Click on the tab labeled Inside RFR and select American Redoubt Network from the drop-down menu. Read up on it, follow the easy instructions, and get connected. It's safe, it's free, and it's simple. And I'm talking about www.radiofreeredoubt.com. If you're still listening over at the blogspot site, that's radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com, that's not going to work for you, although there is information over there about how to join the American Redoubt Network. But you'll get the most updated information if you are at the new site, which we're working on right now. So thanks for your patience. And that's at radiofreeredoubt.com. No blogspot, just RadioFreeRedoubt.com. All right, you're listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm a Redoubter. I'm a conservative Christian patriot who loves Americanism. And this is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. We'll be right back.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog and the Tactical Tip of the Week. The term group standard, made popular by James Wesley Rawls in his novel The Patriots, is heard frequently within prepper circles. But what does it mean, and how do you apply it in your preparedness efforts? It is, quite simply, buying or procuring items that take the same parts, whether they be magazines, ammunition, batteries, or any other preparedness items. For instance, if you buy a piece of electronic equipment, think to yourself, will I have to buy special batteries, or will the batteries I have on hand do? At our home, group standard for batteries is AA and D. The D batteries power large portable radios and large flashlights, where the AA batteries power all of my two-way radios, small flashlights, night vision, and electronic sights such as EOTech and Aimpoint. So before you buy, consider if your purchase will match your group standard. This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog on Radio Free Readout.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Okay, thanks for sticking around. That was some really good information. It was really great to have Leah on board with us. I was disappointed in the audio quality, and we were trying to work that out on break, but I found out what the problem is. That's a little late now, but hey, this was our first Skype interview, but it sounded like she's on a speakerphone, right? She was actually on a headset with a boom mic and couldn't figure it out. But if you're using Skype, just for FYI, you go up into the tools setting and then you adjust the audio, the microphone settings, because it was actually using the speaker from the computer. It wasn't picking up the boom mic, because it should be just as clear as my voice is right now. But anyway, now we know. So next time we'll fix that. And so I'm sorry about that, that kind of the echoey speakerphone sound. Okay, I want you to remind you that we've posted all the resources from today's show on the blog, on the website there for today's highlights and resources posting, and that's titled Episode 1216, Betrayal and Pushback. Agenda 21. You'll be able to go there and follow all of those links, not just to the news articles and current events, but also all of the Agenda 21 information. There is so much to be learned about from there. And also, I just wanted to encourage you once again to get, if you are living in the North Idaho area, I want to invite you to email me at johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. I will pass your email on to Leah so she can get you added to the list. And so we're going to be doing some more interviews. We're trying to line some stuff up because this, like I've mentioned before, is a Pandora's box that's opening wide up with what's going on. It's UN-driven, but you won't see UN or Agenda 21 written on any of the literature for the people that are trying to implement this plan. It's done very subtly, so it's very difficult to recognize. You have to look for the language. All these guys are being taught the same standards and the same language and the same lingo. And we're seeing it in our schools through the IB program. We're seeing smart grid programs come down the line. And also they're trying to infiltrate our local law enforcement to turn them over toward that act locally, think globally type of mentality. We want to be able to watch for that, because the police, the law enforcement, they're on our side. They're our citizens. They live in our communities, but they're trying to buy them out, from the Department of Homeland Security grants all the way up to some of these new standards for law enforcement that they're pushing. So we're going to be covering a lot more of that in the future. Well, we're going to close things up for tonight here. And so I just want to thank you all for your support. And remember, as usual, right after the show tonight, we're going to air an episode of Cloak and Dagger, the old-time radio classics that tell the stories of the OSS and the special agents behind enemy lines during World War II. And then right after that, we'll re-air the show you just listened to in case you missed any of it, just like we do every week. And don't forget that you can download any or all of our past shows from the Podbean site so you can listen to them during the week or when you're on the go. And remember to share Radio Free Readout with your like-minded friends and family and help spread the word about the American Readout. And please remember to visit our sponsors' websites. They are Patriot-owned businesses that are helping to support Radio Free Readout and the American Readout movement, and they're deserving of your support. If nothing else, drop them an email thanking them for supporting Radio Free Readout and let them know that if or when you're ever in the market for their services, you'll keep them in mind. And if you're a Patriot business owner and you're interested in finding out how you can help by becoming a sponsor, email us at marketing@radiofreereadout.com. And we'll get the information package emailed to you. And that pretty much wraps it up. So this is the part I hate. I got to let you go. Until next week. So may the Lord richly bless you this week. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.